Al, thanks for joining me. Let's pray, pray, pray. I've got a really important special intention for you to pray for right now. Our chief executive officer, Father Frank Hoffman, you know him as Father Rocky, leads the Family Rosary across America, had sent a text out to me and to really everybody here at Relevant Radio saying, hey, could you pray seven memoraries? Or could you, you know, pray to St. Joseph for a really important intention that we have regarding Relevant Radio? I don't know if I should disclose any more than that at this point. But it happens today. This is the day. And this will be good for souls. So if you would just pray for Relevant Radio for a particular blessing, my first part of my prayer is always, Lord, if this is your will, we want to do his will. If it's not meant for us, if it's not for the betterment of this apostolate or for souls, and shut the door. But Lord, if it is, then throw open those doors, remove those obstacles, allow that good to flow. So if we could offer the chapel today, I'd like to do that. Big intention, and I think he'll know the answer by 5 p.m. today, so we're going to pray for him there. I just got a text from my former producer, Cassie, right? I've shared with you her incredible story of infertility and miscarriage and how God has blessed her with a child, and I'd asked you to pray for her the other day. She was very concerned. She had written to me, and she had said, maybe it was about a week ago, she says, look, I'm sorry for the short notice. Could you please pray for our baby today during the chaplet? We recently found out that for some reason, she stopped growing over 4 weeks ago. Would you please pray for a healthy baby and a safe delivery? How frightening for a mother, right? How frightening for that family. I spoke to her father the other day, her husband, the other day, and she was going to be induced. And we prayed for her on Friday, remember? I'd mentioned that. She just sent me a pic, and maybe I'll send it to Maggie and we'll put it up on Twitter. I should ask Cassie first, but this is what she said. She says, praise be God. Lucia Marie Claire was born healthy this weekend. Thank you for all the prayers. It goes out to you. It goes out to me. And this is Maggie, I'm going to forward it to you. It's such a beautiful little baby. Oh my gosh. It's so beautiful. But that's the power of prayer. So that's a real answer to prayer. And I want to thank you for it. God hears prayers. I say it all the time. It's scary, anxiety ridden situations like that. And here you see this child. I think it's like her sixth child. She wrote a book. I have to get her back on to talk about her infertility. Never thought she'd ever be able to have her own child. Adopted two children. Went to many physicians to try to remedy whatever the issue was, unsuccessfully. But God's divine touch changed everything for her. You know, his mercy prevailed. This is now a mother of six children. Six children. I mean, it's such an amazing miracle story. And that's the power of this particular prayer. This person said, hey, a couple months ago, I sent a prayer request for Maggie on Twitter. Maggie read the prayer on air. I asked prayer for a woman named Chris who was diagnosed with cancer in the hip area a few months after receiving the COVID vaccine. During her treatments, the doctors discovered cancer was starting to spread. I didn't know this person. I never met her. She completed her chemos and is cancer-free. I might have shared that last week. Here's another one. She says, I meant to reach out to you a while ago about this. My family who relayed this story to me wants to remain anonymous, so I won't share the name. But on Ash Wednesday, the wife of our mechanic, he was driving home. He was praying the Divine Mercy Chaplet and was hit on the head. The vehicle was completely totaled. She went to the hospital, was somehow miraculously released that night without anything wrong with her. This was a head-on collision. She was definitely a miracle. On a side note, please pray for my family, especially my 13-year-old son who's been struggling in school with some bullying issues. We will certainly pray for him. So those prayers continue to come in. The miracles continue to get reported. And I'm just so grateful for you and for those prayers and for God's mercy. We hear this all the time. Praying with me today is Chris Flood. She is my colleague, and she's going through a tough time as well. We've been praying for her brother who is in the fight for his life with cancer right now. And Chris, how are you holding up? How's your family?
We're doing okay. We rely on our faith, and we had some good news that the cancer hadn't spread to his lungs on Friday, but still waiting to hear that it hasn't spread any other place in his body. So
That's fantastic.
My prayer intention today was going to be for all those suffering from cancer, because as I listen to the prayer intentions of our donors, there's so many families who are dealing with multiple cases of cancer at the same time, and I can't imagine how you handle that. So praying for all those people dealing with that and my family.
It's such a wretched disease, and I know your family knows that personally. You've lost loved ones as a result of cancer. I think of my own producer, Tom, who just lost his loved one, my wife, whose cousin died of cancer. She was a mother of two, but she was young. She was only in her 40s, and she battled cancer for a while. So, Lord, we just give you those who are in the fight with this wretched disease. I pray for the end of this disease. And I ask for the cure for cancer. And I pray for grace for those who are struggling with it. And we'll go to the phones. We'll take your calls. A couple things you can do here very quickly. You can post your intentions if you don't get through on the lines. On Twitter, Maggie's going to share them with you. It's at Drew Mariani Show. At Drew Mariani Show. That's a Twitter handle. You can follow me at Drew Mariani. But if you use that Twitter handle, post your intentions. Maggie will bring them into our prayer here today. And, of course, as these answered prayers come in, just mark in the memo field, answered prayer, and email me, drew@relevantradio.com, and share your story with me. I love seeing these. I love sharing them. I'll share more answered prayers tomorrow, all right? If you want to join us and you're new to the broadcast, it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And one final place to put your petition, I'll be going on Holy Land. I'll be going on pilgrimage to the Holy Land in October. Very grateful for Relevant for that. I get to lead this pilgrimage and be able to pray with you. If you want more information, of course, you can go to relevantradio.com. / Holy Land to get information. But if you go to relevantradio.com/Drew, and you can't travel, and believe me, I get it, we still want to pray for you. We still want you to join us spiritually. Give us your prayer intentions. We're creating a big prayer list there of names. So put those names, put those intentions in, and know that on that pilgrimage and every day on the chaplet here and every day in all those different spiritual exercises, you'll be remembered, okay? relevantradio.com/Drew. Scroll down past the podcast, and there you will find a place to put those intentions. All right. One final intention, and we'll pray. This is an important one. The person just said, my friend's housekeeper just called to say her husband, Juan, and daughter, Lillian, have been missing in Mexico now for 13 days. Drew, we need all the prayers we can get. Please ask everyone to pray that they will be found safe and sound. Thank you, and may God bless you. And I bet they're going to be found. This is a prayer that works miracles, happens over and over again. And Marina writes to us, could you pray for my mom? She's in the ICU due to a stroke, and her brain is bleeding. All right, we'll pray for these intentions. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take our first call today. This one comes from Los Angeles. Her name is Russia. Hey, Russia, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
Hey, I'm well. Thank you for calling.
I'm praying. I'm praying for my sister. Her husband fell last week. He was playing soccer, and he displaced his knee, ruptured his tendons, the one that they hold the leg. So, and he, the worst part is he has a blood clot in his leg, and he's the only person who works and brings the money home, and he has three young kids, and he's they say it's going to take him a whole year to heal.
Wow, that's rough. All right, well, we're going to need financial blessings here,
too. And
I'm
praying for my husband. And my husband needs a lot of prayers for this weekend. He has a lot of work, too.
All right, well, we'll lift him up. Let's pray for you, Russia, for all of your intentions, all your personal needs. I do want to pray for your brother-in-law who injured his knees. Lord, I pray for anyone who has torn ligaments or orthopedic issues or any sort of mobility issue right now, especially those who are now incapacitated and cannot work and provide for their family, and they do not know how they're going to make ends meet. These impossible situations, Lord, you said through prayer and fasting, we can find ways out of situations that have no way out. I believe that. I believe in the power of this prayer. I believe in your mercy. You are a God of abundance. You are a multiplier, as I'd like to say. And Lord, I just pray right now for those financial miracles that souls need to get out of debt, to pay those bills that they're behind in, to find better employment and to qualify for those loans and mortgages, to sell those homes. I mean, so many different complications. Fill up the gas tank. Lord, you know the needs of your children. So I bring you these temporal needs. I ask for your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Amelia next, praying with us. Beautiful Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Amelia.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much. If you could please continue to pray for my alcoholic son, that he has the will and desire to stop drinking. I'm going to be extra concerned this week because his family, his wife and child are going to be out of town. So he's really going to have to fend for himself. So I really want him to be strong and have self-control. This is the week where I'm really going to worry. He's going to be home alone after work and want him to have self-control.
You know what? I know your prayers are constant, and I know that God hears them. I want you to know that the Lord hears them as well. I'm going to give you a really simple prayer to pray, okay, for your son this weekend. When you think of him, when you think about him alone and the temptation he has, it was taught by Jesus to St. Faustina. It's a prayer I pray. My former producer, Jake, he when he learned of it, he would pray it all the time, too, for loved ones who need conversion. Jesus said this to Faustina. He says, look, my daughter, I desire you to know more profoundly that love that burns in my heart for souls. He burns, you know, with a fever for souls. He says, you know, you'll understand this when you meditate upon my passion. He says, call upon my mercy for sinners, for I desire their salvation. When you say this prayer, and you say it with a contrite heart, he said to her, when you say it with faith on behalf of that individual, here's what the Lord promised. He says, I will give that soul the grace of conversion. When you say this prayer with a contrite heart and with faith on behalf of that soul, I will give him the grace of conversion. And the prayer is this. We've already prayed it once. It's out of diary entry 186-187. The prayer the Lord gave Faustina to say is, O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us, I trust in you. Okay? O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us. I trust in you. It's simple. It's one sentence. We can invoke it over and over again. When that son comes to your mind, and I know I had that situation in my own life with people I needed to pray with. Suddenly the Holy Spirit reminds you to They come to heart. They come to mind. You feel this urgent need to pray. Start praying that prayer. And do it with faith. Do it with a contrite heart. And take the Lord at his promise. Lord, I pray for the conversion of all of our loved ones, especially those battling addiction. I just ask that your mercy flow. And I bring you this mother. I bring you her son. And I bring you all those who I'm praying for. And all those most in need of your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful entrance, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Joseph in Paterson, New Jersey, let me bring Maggie into the conversation. Maggie scours, monitors, and really handles a lot of that social media that you see on Twitter. Say hello to her, all right? And follow us at Drew Mariani Show, especially if you have a prayer intention you want to get on the air and you can't get through because these lines fill up. A great place to put the intentions because Maggie will voice them every afternoon. And again, relevantradio.com/Drew. Scroll down and put your intentions there, and I'll take them to the Holy Land. Maggie, what's coming in?
Thanks, Drew. I just want to lift up some personal prayers of thanksgiving today for many answered prayers that are coming around. I'm really grateful.
Praise God.
Yeah. Tim wrote to us earlier and said, Drew, I sent in a prayer request a few months ago to find a fundraising person to back my youth center. And I found one really close to home, and she's been a total godsend. He said, I'm just asking for continued prayers for fundraising and efforts of this youth center. Maureen wrote to us and said, please pray for a miracle healing of my Aunt Marilyn, a non-smoker who has stage 4 inoperable lung cancer. Chris wrote to us and said, for my son's marriage, may the court show mercy and grant request that charges be dropped, so that the marriage can start the road to repair as they both want this now. Thank you, Jesus. Cheryl wrote to us and said, Drew, could you please add me to your prayer intentions today? I had a mammogram today, and I always worry about the results because I've had several biopsies in the past, which at the time were normal, but I always worry, and she says, I also suffer from panic attacks. So I wanted to lift up Cheryl.
Oh, for sure.
But Cheryl, hopefully this next intention will give you hope, because Emma wrote to us and she said, a prayer of thanksgiving for clean imaging scans of my brain. Wow. I had to keep reminding myself of giving him my complete trust. Prayers for all of us who are still battling, but give him total trust and control of your life. Thank you, my divine mercy family.
Wow, how beautiful, huh? Mm-hmm. How beautiful. Yeah, it's a day, I think, of healing. A lot of financial requests coming in, Maggie, as you let off with that prayer. We'll continue to ask God just to be merciful. Let's pray now. Oh, we'll bring Joseph into the conversation, too. He's been waiting to join us. He's in New Jersey. Hi, Joseph. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Maggie. Thank you for taking my call. My prayer intention is I have several, but I'll make it quick. First, for my daughter, Nicole, who is not practicing her faith and took an alternative lifestyle up. Mm-hmm. And it took 3 years of prayer to get her home from college. She's finally home, but now she's causing real discord in the home. And I think if she just practiced her faith that she was raised in, she will be okay. But it's up to God. Amen. I'm sure he wants her back in the fold. Next intention is for my wife who and I are having issues with our marriage because of what's going on with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And the third intention is for my grand knight. We have a chapter of Knights Columbus in my local parish, and he suffered a heart attack. He's doing pretty good considering what he's gone through. He's up in age, and they're also thinking of dissolving our chapter, and I don't think God wants that. And also for Relevant Radio and all the souls of departed, my mother and brother.
Yeah, well, hey, hang in there, Joe. You got it. We're going to be praying for you and your marriage, all right, for sure, that whatever discord, divide, or spirit of division is there, that it will be bound and removed. We want to pray for your daughter, and just thinking of that diary entry, 186, 187 in Faustina's diary. Pray that prayer. Pray the chaplet for the conversion of her, you know, pray the rosary. I'm sure you are, but we'll pray. You know, just keep praying and trust God. His time is not our time. I know he'll reserve this according to his will. So, Lord, I pray for all those who are in need of conversion again, all those with troubled marriages, Lord, all those struggling financially. I give you my heart. I give you the hearts of all who united with me now. In your mercy, hear our prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Gloria is listening in Baldwin, California, Baldwin Park, California. Hi, Gloria. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was calling in to ask for prayers from the entire Divine Mercy family for a little girl named Ashlyn. She's 14 years old, and she's been battling cancer for many years. They had done a surgery. She was doing well, and they found her yesterday in her room with seizures, and they had to take her to the hospital. Now she's unconscious and on life support. So please, prayers for the little girl.
Oh, Gloria, we certainly will pray for her. We'll pray right now from this moment forward that her condition change and for the better. We're going to ask God for that divine mercy miracle that we need. And I'll tell you what, I want to pray for you too. You're a compassionate soul. Lord, I just give you this little girl, give you all children right now that are in the hospital, the PICUs and NICUs, those in critical care. Pray for all those who are facing emergencies at this moment. I want to pray for Gloria, her needs, and once again, all those who are here. But Lord, I pray from the moment of this prayer, this child's condition change, and you recover her and you envelop her, you heal her, embrace her in your mercy. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Jackie, listening in Cherryville, Indiana. Hi, Jackie. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call. And I'm going to ask all of our Divine Mercy prayer warriors, I need financial help. I've already been saying the novena to St. Joseph. I need to sell my place. I cannot make ends meet anymore. And it's hard to put food on the table. And I have a friend in Turkey. I called before. This is 10 months he's there. He was robbed. He had all his equipment stolen, and he's still stranded there. And I ask God for mercy to help him. I need to sell my place, though. I need to make my ends meet, and I ask God to help with the intercession of St. Joseph. I've been praying to him so hard and so long.
Well, there's a reason, Jackie. I want you to be at peace. I know you're very stressed. I know this is overwhelming for you. God has a plan. He's heard your prayer. I'm convinced of it. I know he's heard your prayer. Let's put our trust. We'll wait in his time. And don't stop trusting, Lord. I know when it gets difficult like this, when you don't feel like your prayers are being answered, you think that God doesn't hear you. The Lord told Faustina, I'll do everything for you. You know, he says, when souls come to me with trust, when they trust in my infinite mercy, oh, how I love souls that have that complete confidence in me. He loves when you put your trust in him like that. You have complete confidence. He says, I will do everything for them. So we're going to pray right now for the sale of your home. As somebody comes by, they love it. Whatever obstacles there is removed. And that, of course, you'll be able to pay your bills. And today, Lord, there's so many intentions coming in for finances. I just want to conclude this chapter of praying for financial blessings. Open the coffers of heaven. Allow great graces to flow, new opportunities, houses to sell, jobs and promotions to come people's way, surprise blessings to enter their life, Lord. Allow debts to be forgiven. You know, we pray just for the eradication of debt and a way out so these souls can find greater freedom, greater peace, Lord. But I do ask today on behalf of Jackie that her home sell. We pray for this man in Turkey and all those who are in critical situations. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
My phone screener, Patrick, said he took 4 calls today about people trying to sell their home. So let's really ask God to be merciful for that. Please remember these intentions. As we conclude, Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Stay with me when I return. His Excellency Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione is going to be stopping by. We'll discuss the latest on worthy reception of the Eucharist. Don't go away.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Is an unborn baby with a human heart and a human liver a human being?
Yeah. Why don't you take your ideological questions? I don't have... Look, you know, no, listen, I want to say something to you. I don't know who you are. I am a devout, practicing Catholic.
As a devout Catholic...
As a practicing and respectful Catholic, and I do not intend to respond to your questions which have no basis in what public policy is.
The rights that are guaranteed in our Constitution should not depend on geography. They should depend on justice.
As a devout Catholic,
it's just appalling.
Supporting legislation that is shameful in every way to our country and what we are about.
What the Bible tells us about the dignity and worth of every person.
Help me out here, Madam Speaker. When does life begin?
I would say that as an ardent practicing Catholic, this is an issue that I have studied for a long time. And what I know is over the centuries, the doctors of the church have not been able to make that definition. I don't think anybody can tell you when life begins.
The Catholic Church at the moment feels very strongly that it begins at the point of conception. And
this would force Catholic individuals and institutions to act against their consciences. All across the nation, Catholic...
Is this a speech or do we have a question?
If we are people of faith, as we contend to be, we must act upon our faith.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and I just wanted to share some of that audio. I believe it came from Catholic Vote, just to show you the context of Speaker Pelosi's position. She really believes that she is a devout Catholic, and I've been calling you to pray for her, as I've been calling you to pray for the president, who is also a Catholic. By their actions, their vocal, their legislative actions, their promise to advance the culture of death, throw the weight of the federal government behind, making sure that abortion remains the law of the land. It's confusing to fellow Catholics who say, well, these people are good Catholics, right? They're Catholics, right? Abortion must be okay. Their actions bring scandal, right? Speaker Pelosi, as His Excellency Archbishop Cordiglione has pointed out, she's perpetrating a grave evil. She's perpetrating a grave evil. She's causing scandal. And most importantly, as our sister in Christ, we should be worried about her immortal soul. Last Friday, Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco announced he has decided to publicly bar House Speaker Pelosi from receiving communion. That, of course, had major backlash in the secular media. I know Bishop Cordiglione knew that was going to happen. He's been accused of playing politics with the so-called right-wing bishops. There was a piece today in the San Francisco Examiner. They ran an editorial with the headline, "Attack on Nancy Pelosi. You know, should be San Francisco Archbishop's final act here." And it wasn't an attack at all. It was pastoral and it was loving. We played a little clip earlier today from Whoopi Goldberg on The View, who really did not understand what she was talking about either. And this goes on and on. What's interesting, though, just a side note, I want to speak to His Excellency. Numerous bishops across the country have spontaneously expressed their support for what he has done. And it has to be emphasized that this isn't the first time this has happened. Cardinal Burke was Bishop Raymond Burke, you know, in La Crosse, just before he was sent to St. Louis. We've seen similar action. Archbishop Joseph Nauman of Kansas City, Kansas, also said something similar to Kathleen Sebelius. So, look, this is not unprecedented. Other bishops have done this. I'm joined today just for some clarity and to help us better understand worthy reception of the Eucharist and the nature of what Archbishop Cordiglione has done, that this is not a political tool. We're not using the Eucharist as such, but this is a pastoral action. He joins me today, and I'm delighted to have him here. You might remember he had that Rose campaign for Nancy Pelosi as well. So Rose and Rosary campaign was underway, and they garnered lots of prayers for her, and I'm sure he's going to continue to ask you to pray for her as well. Your Excellency, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your time. I know you've had a busy day with a lot of media, and I'm grateful to have you here with me this afternoon.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm happy to be back with you.
You know, I'm going to dispense with the questions about whether or not this was, you know, a political decision. We know it's not, for sure. The reaction of it has been pretty wild here. Can the state of a person's immortal soul influence what happens politically? I think that's important. If somebody is blinded by sin, if their intellect has become darkened, how concerned should we be, and how do you navigate that as a bishop?
Obviously, I cannot judge people's souls or people's consciences, although I am worried that people on the other side of the debate know that they're wrong because they will not answer a simple, straightforward question. I'm not singling out any one person. Across the board, when I hear people on that side of the issue, when they're presented the question of, oh, is it a life within the mother's womb or not, however that question is phrased, they will not answer it.
Yeah.
So it tells me that they know they're wrong or there's something off here. So, I cannot judge the conscience, but I sense something is off there.
Yeah.
But it's not a matter of judging conscience or judging the soul. It's a matter of helping people. When people are, whether they know it or not, if they're involved in furthering something that is really evil, we need to help them understand that for the sake of their own souls and their own eternal salvation. And when it's a public figure, there's also this question of scandal. So the bishop has, or the person's pastor, has the responsibility to try to protect the common good by repairing the scandal that is caused.
Yeah, that's for sure. I know that you've spoken to her privately, and I would assume, you know, pastorally, you've addressed these issues with her many times. Otherwise, I don't think you would have taken this step. And you know, I think a lot of bishops probably do this with those members of Congress and other people that hold weight and really are, you know, not being good practicing Catholics and bringing about scandal. What was the breaking point? What was the final straw? Because I know we had this Rose and Rosary campaign for Speaker Pelosi to pray for her conversion. What was it that finally you said, okay, enough is enough for her soul and for the sake of other souls, I need to do this?
Yes, I began the Rose and Rosary campaign, which we are keeping going and with reviving. People can sign up at benedictinstitute.org. But I began that back in September, Rose and Rosary, looking to the Feast of the Little Flower on October 1st. After she announced, this is after the Texas Senate Bill 8, the so-called heartbeat bill, prohibiting abortion after the detection of a fetal heartbeat. When she vowed to codify Roe in the law and even go beyond that, it'd be basically unfettered, unqualified access to abortion during all 9 months of pregnancy. This really sent off the alarm bells for me. I was very worried. And so I want to engage people in prayer and fasting. We need to pray and fast and reclaim this penitential discipline as well, along with our prayer. And then to show the speaker that there are people out there praying and sacrificing for her, which is authentic love for her and the rosary, the rose as a symbol of that. She continued this kind of very aggressive and extremist abortion position. And I tried many times to speak with her about it and was not able to. I finally, first of all, I want to say I did not want to reveal this, any of this to the public. I mean, these are private matters, and I feel a little uncomfortable doing so.
Right.
But I felt I had to do so people could understand the context and the background of this. So I did send her a letter in early April pointing this out and the scandal and asking her to repudiate her position on abortion, or if not, then not to refer to her Catholic faith in public and not to take Holy Communion. So then I thought, if I have to take action, what is the determining factor? Mm-hmm. I knew she was going to communion, but I didn't take action then because no attention was being called to it. So it's something I really did not want to do. But then on May 4th, in a public context, she once again referred to herself as a devout Catholic and justifying abortion. So it was a direct violation of what I had asked her not to do. And I knew at that point I had to take this action. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's sad for me. I knew it was going to be misunderstood by many people. I knew they were going to use it as an opportunity to accuse me of being political, you know, going out of my lane. And all that, I was concerned about if people would be disruptive to our masses or, you know, attack us. And I knew it, for some of my priests, it might be difficult for them with what some of the parishioners would be saying. But despite all of that, I'm grateful to God that he brought me to the point to where I can say I was absolutely certain in my conscience I had to do this. I struggled with this for very many years.
Yeah.
With my own prayer and fasting and consulting people with a range of perspectives that are my respect for their wisdom and integrity, pastoral sensitivity. So I struggled with it for a long time, and I'm grateful, as hard as it is, that God brought me to the point to where I had absolute certainty in my conscience that I had to do it.
Yeah, well, first of all, you have my prayers, and I'm grateful for your leadership.
You.
I think we need it. I think you're a shining light today, and you know, a lot of Catholics are very frustrated when they see what's happening in the culture and people, politicians who claim they're Catholic, and it just creates scandal, and as you point out, it perpetrates a great evil. But most importantly, we can't forget there are brothers and sisters. A little bit later, Your Excellency, I know I have you for a few moments. I'm going to talk about worthy reception. It's not just Nancy Pelosi. All of us have to make sure that we receive the Lord worthily, right? We have to approach the altar and truly be prepared in a state of grace to receive our Lord. So this is not just really a message for Nancy. I think we can all learn something from your action.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have this crisis of Eucharistic faith in the church now. People, you know, not believing the real presence, not understanding what it means to receive the Holy Eucharist. They see it as a gesture of welcome or table fellowship, which has never been the church's belief, or at least not the full belief. That's why we bishops, the U.S. bishops, have launched this Eucharistic Revival Project, of this, yep, this three-year project of highlighting the Eucharist, and at the diocesan level, then at the parish level, culminating in the National Eucharistic Congress. We're forming Eucharistic missionaries to go out and teach people about what it means to receive the Holy Eucharist. So it is there. It's a crisis of Eucharistic faith in the church. It's sadly very widespread, and we need to reclaim our authentic Catholic faith in the real presence of Christ and what it really means to receive Him in the Eucharist.
You got it. Just a final thought from me here. Two things, and I know you've got to run. One, do you have any concern for your personal safety or for your parishes, your churches? We've seen what has happened recently when the Dobbs case, that first draft was leaked. And then finally, I'm just curious on a personal level whether or not Speaker Pelosi has responded, reacted, or has said anything about the actions you've taken.
Well, we'll wait and see what happens on the second point. On the first point, I didn't have much fear. I had a little bit of concern that there might be disruption of our masses, because on Mother's Day there were threats to disrupt masses, which then didn't happen. We did have a mass disrupted at our cathedral at the end of February, so I thought there might be some mayhem on Mother's Day, but nothing happened. Yeah. There was a call last Sunday for women to walk out, stand up in the middle of Mass and walk out in protest, but that didn't happen either. So I was a little bit concerned, but I'm not too overly worried about that. Of course, we'll be alert, of course.
Amen.
Take reasonable precautions, but I'm not fearful, really.
Well, we'll be praying for you, and I'd ask everyone who's listening to say at least a Hail Mary or offer some prayer for you. Remember you in their personal prayers or rosaries or masses or chaplets. Keep up the wonderful work. We're grateful for your leadership, and look forward to talking with you again soon. We'll continue to pray for Nancy Pelosi as well.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate
Amen.
That.
Sign up for the Rose and Rosary campaign for Speaker Pelosi. You can pray for her conversion. That's the most powerful thing we can do. Go to benedictinstitute.org. Just as a side note, Archbishop's last name, Cordiglione, you know what that means? It means heart of a lion. And he's certainly standing courageously. He also has the heart of a real and true shepherd who's concerned with the souls of his flock. Let's make sure we pray for him as well.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
It's extremely unpleasant. People need to understand this. Something I really was hoping I would not have to do. Yes, I have been praying about this for many years, fasting for our speaker. I've been consulting church leaders whom I respect for their wisdom and their integrity and their pastoral sensitivity, church leaders with different perspectives, to try to help inform my own conscience and guide me in discerning how to handle the situation. But with the kind of extreme abortion agenda we see from some politicians trying to connect this with the Catholic faith, I finally came to the point where I can say I was absolutely certain in my conscience that I had to do this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That was His Excellency Archbishop Cordiglione making a bold move and telling Nancy Pelosi that she cannot receive communion unless she publicly repudiates her support of abortion rights and confesses and receives absolution for her cooperation with evil in the Sacrament of Penance. You know, we can easily throw stones at Nancy. I can find myself getting ready to sling one, or Joe Biden. You think, oh my gosh, look at the scandal these Catholics are doing. But I got to take the speck. I got to take the plank out of my own eye before I take the speck out of anybody else's. You and I have to do some self-evaluation here as well. Do we approach the Eucharist, as St. Faustina says sometimes, as a dead object? Or do we truly recognize what we are about to receive? And are we properly disposed to receiving him? I'm joined this afternoon by Father Richard Simon. I thought that'd be a good follow-up to His Excellency and that conversation, just so we're all on the same page, that we can make sure that we understand what's required for proper reception of the Eucharist. And Monsignor, Father Simon, it's good. I know. Good to have you back. Let me pick up on that point. You know, it's easy to say, oh, look at Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. They're so wrong. They're so evil. As a Catholic, I'd never do that. But look, there's a lot of other ways we engage in sin that we may not even be aware of, and yet we go to communion like it's a piece of bread. I mean, we see that today. Large swaths of Catholics don't believe in the true presence, and this is not on their radar. Help us understand how we should be properly, how we should properly receive and what the Church requires of us.
Well, first of all, I'm a little overawed by following Archbishop Corleone. I mean, what dignity and what calm in his voice. Wow, I was just so impressed to hear him. And what clarity. Boy, well, you know, all I can say is to repeat what St. Paul says. He who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks unworthily, and eats and drinks to condemnation. And that this may be the most serious issue, not abortion, though that's deadly serious, but the unworthy reception of Holy Communion. I wonder if it isn't the most serious issue. And it isn't just, going to communion in sin, it's being unprepared to do so. You know, what do I do to prepare to go to communion? And most of us would say, well, nothing. You know, I've talked about this a lot, you know, that the general instruction of the Roman Missal insists that there be silence in church before Mass. Nobody does that. Almost nobody. Because, you know, we're just going through a ritual. And I personally really believe, obey the bishops, but I really believe that communion on the knees is something that we've lost. There's nothing as powerful as some kid watching his mom or dad kneeling and waiting for something. How often do you see that? You don't see it ever. And it's a powerful symbol that we've, I think, lost. And I think I would urge those who have the competence to do so to reevaluate it. To receive communion worthily, you must be in a state of grace and not under any censure. You must be a baptized Roman Catholic, because this is communion. This is intimacy, not just with Christ, but with the Church throughout the world and throughout the ages. And if you're not ready to be in communion, an intimate and strong union with a church that has a 2,000-year history of martyrs and saints, and then you shouldn't be coming up. It's communion.
I think what St. Paul says in the first letter of Corinthians, you know, that we need to examine ourselves so that we discern what we're eating, right? Because if we don't, then we're going to do what? We're going to eat and drink condemnation on ourselves.
It's poisonous.
This is truly God. Address that point. I don't think people are we to take that literally or is that figuratively? I'll throw you a softball.
No. It's St. Paul says he believes that for this some of you are sick and some have even died. Right. I mean, he took it that seriously. How come I can't go to communion? How come I can't get communion? Well, because it's poisonous if you don't receive it worthily.
Wow, right.
Let me pull it up. He eats and drinks. Okay, I'll pull it up. 1 Corinthians 11:29. For anyone who eats and drinks, well, verse 28, each one must examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's why so many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep, meaning to have died. So to eat and drink unworthily, Paul says it's poisonous. Certainly spiritually, and he maintains even physically. So there you go.
Yeah. Well, Father, I wish we had more time. I'm grateful for all that you do, and maybe this is an issue you can pick up on your broadcast. Father Simon's on every day just before the Drew Mariani Show starts. What do you think is going to come from this thing? I only have about 30 seconds for you. I, too, have a lot of respect for Archbishop Corleone.
I don't know.
No?
I don't know, but I just have this feeling listening to him on your show that this is a very big moment in the church as well as in the country, but in the church, that we need to decide things.
Let's pray for him. We'll pray for Nancy Pelosi as well. Father, enjoy the rest of your day. We'll catch up again soon. It's Father Richard Simon. I'll be right back.